Welcome back to the Hot Corner. We've got some breaking news coming out of Bordentown-Carlton today, folks. Adam Connolly suspected to be the next New York Mets manager. Adam, what is the latest on this?
Just waiting to see what kind of a contract I'm going to get offered.
Well, I mean, Ken Rosenthal saying they're thinking about 4 years, $62 million. What's your analysis on this?
If they come up with $60 million for 4 years, I'll probably move down to New York.
Sounds good, folks.
This is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
All right, guys, so that was our little funny introduction to kick off the American League and National League Championship Series. Welcome back, and Adam joins me again for another episode. Thanks again for coming aboard, Adam.
No problem, anytime.
All right, so in the AL and NLDSs, we had some doozy matchups. All the series except two for me really stuck out. I think the Phillies and the Yankees series, those were sort of gimmies.
Yeah.
But the Giants and Braves and the Rangers and Rays series, I thought those were really good series overall.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah.
Let's start off with the DS series and how they come about to be in the championship series now. The Yankees, what happened to, in your opinion, what happened to the Twins, the Twinkies?
I just think, I don't know whether it's mental when they come to New York or what. They just don't seem to, I mean, they don't match up, their lineups obviously don't match up. But for, you know, a team like Minnesota who plays so well all year, and then they get up against those Yankees and they just cannot get through them. So I think part of it is probably mental, although, you know, the Yankees have a very good lineup there as well. Plus Pettit. Pettit pitched quite good considering he hardly pitched at all coming back from his injuries, and he's had a good start. So I think anyone would have said the same thing if they expected the two of those guys to pitch like they did.
Exactly. Now, we look at the Rangers and the Rays series. In my personal opinion, I just think, well, Cliff Lee obviously dominated them. But I also think that the Rays hitting wasn't nearly as good as the Rangers hitting was. You take a look at the Rangers hitting. I just mentioned to you, I was looking at their stats there this morning. They had four, five, six guys over 300. Most notably, Elvis Andrus. He was really the cornerstone for me to their offense. Why do you think that is? Why are the Rays, who were, I mean, pretty good hitters throughout the whole season, suddenly go cold?
I think a lot of the Rays is their average this year was one of the lower they've had. They had a lot of guys that get on base that don't necessarily have good averages. Like Carlos Pena, for instance, hit about 200 all year, but he walks quite a bit. But in the playoffs, of course, you're facing better pitching, and they don't make those kind of mistakes, so they have less guys on base. I think that had a lot to do with it. And in Texas, pitchers too. Well, I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, Lee threw two dandy starts. C.J. Wilson threw really well for them. So, you know, their pitching was really good too. So that definitely had something to do with it.
All right, let's move on now to the NLDS series. We'll start off with the Phillies, who swept the Cincinnati Reds. Really, I mean, we both predicted this, that it would be a sweep. But I think the big thing for me in the three games that they played, Joey Votto only had one hit. I mean, obviously, phone's ringing off the hook here, guys. Just big news about Adam Connolly being named, or could be named, the manager. So, Ken Rosenthal's calling us, Buster Olney, Jason Stark, Kenny Powers is even on the line. Oh, jumpings. All right, so we were talking about Joey Votto and how he was quieted, only one hit in the series. Obviously, for an MVP-type regular season, he was quite quiet.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Although, you know, to be frank, with the whole Reds lineup was pretty quiet. I mean, for a team that led the National League in home runs, RBIs, and batting average, not really anyone did too much. Although, you know, you can attribute that to Halliday and Oswalt and Hamels. Yeah. Halliday, obviously, with the no-hitter. And Hamels threw a gem in Game 3 as well. So when you go up, you know, they always kind of say good pitching beats good hitting, and that certainly was the case in this series.
Now we look at the final series in the division series, the Giants and Braves. This one was a bum burner. The Giants and Braves fought it out. Lincecum pitched a great first game, and it was really back and forth since then.
Yep.
I did predict the Giants I am going to brag that I was 4-0 and Adam was 3-1. Like I said, phone's ringing off the hook, guys. So, this was obviously the last series that Bobby Cox is going to manage. They did go down with the fight. I mean, in my personal opinion, I think it was the Ayers that really killed them throughout the whole series. What would you say would be their biggest downfall, losing to the Giants?
Well, the Ayers definitely had something to do with it, but I mean, the biggest thing, which I kind of thought was going to be the case for both teams, and it was really, was the bats. Neither team really hit much at all.
Yeah.
You know, any gamblers out there would have made money betting on the unders for the for every game, pretty much, except game two, I guess, and that kind of went over because it went to extra innings. So just the bats really didn't come through. The Braves kind of struggled coming down the stretch. And then, of course, you know, just like with the Reds, they were facing great pitching here from San Francisco, which obviously has something to do with it. But, you know, they just couldn't get quite the timely hits. And their pitching was not too bad, but they just bats weren't right there. And then, like you say, the errors, a couple of dandies definitely hurt them.
The E-Force. Yeah. E-Force. Okay, now we're going to move on now to the ALCS, the American League Championship Series. The New York Yankees are facing off against the Texas Rangers. The big story coming out so far, I mean, the series don't start until Saturday, but the biggest story so far is the return of A.J. Burnett. Burnett, who was 10-15 in the regular season with a 5.26 ERA and a 1.51 WHIP, is going to be starting game four for the Yankees. Which one of these biggest statistics, the record, the ERA, or the WHIP, really stand out at you, which could affect the Yankees in a bad way?
Of those stats, I would say the WHIP. You know, getting guys on base with a team like the Rangers. They have, like you had said before, guys like Andrews at the top of the order, and then they got the big thumpers in the middle. So if he's walking a lot of guys, he's going to get into trouble, especially, you know, being game four, which will be in New York. He starts walking a few guys, the fans are going to be all over him. Now, as far as him pitching goes, I'm still not convinced he's going to be in there. I think a lot of it will depend on the situation. If the Yankees are up 2-1 or 3-0, I think he goes.
Yeah.
But I think if the Yankees are down 2-1, I'd be shocked if they didn't come back with Sabathia on 3 days rest.
That's a good point. Adam, you did mention the base running of the Rangers. They were very aggressive. Do you see that continuing in this series against the Yankees?
I think so. I think you have to. I mean, they obviously that helped them get past Tampa Bay. That's kind of how they played all year. You know, you got to play that way regardless of who you're playing against. Obviously, against a guy like Pettit, getting on first base, he's got such a good pickoff move. You might need to be a little bit more careful there. But, you know, other than that, I think that they definitely have to do that.
Yeah. Now, Cliff Lee, he has been so dominant. We mentioned this earlier in the show, but just lights out in both of his starts.
Yeah.
What is going to stop him? I mean, obviously, if anyone's going to stop him, I think I said last series, it would be the Rays. But you know, you got a lineup featuring A-Rod, Granderson, all these guys, Teixeira. What is going to stop Cliff Lee from succeeding?
I don't know if anything will. I mean, it's possible that the Yankees with their bolstered lineup certainly could cause some damage. But, I mean, Lee went out last year in game one of the World Series with Philly, playing in Yankee Stadium and shut them right down. So, it's going to take a lot to shut him down. This guy, just the last couple of years, he's just been lights out in the playoffs. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
This year in particular, he's got a lot of more motivation. He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
The kind of the talk seems to be add millions of dollars on to his next contract with every start.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, the Yankees are the odds-on favorite to pick him up. So
yeah. I was just going to mention that.
He's going to be auditioning for his own team there, but he's pitched well against them a couple times in the regular season, and like I mentioned last year in the playoffs. So I think he'll have a good start now. The big thing with him, that the Yankees got a really lucky break, which is disappointing to see as a Yankee hater like myself. The fact that series went to 5 games and Lee had to pitch game 5 was a big break for New York, because now obviously he can't go till game 3. Had they been able to close that series out in 4 games, he would have been able to go one-on-one with Sabathia in game 1 and maybe pitch 3 times. So that's definitely going to hurt the Rangers. They're, you know, they can't afford to be down 2-0 when he goes in there, but it's going to be tough for them to get a win.
Now, for our viewers that don't know what, like, I mean, it's quite the gap. There's a few days between now and Saturday. Obviously, he has time to heal, but why does he have to wait until game 3 to start?
I guess if it was the opposite series, the Yankee series starts Friday night, the NLCS starts Saturday.
Oh, yes.
If it was the opposite, he could go game 2 because of the extra day in there. Now, he could go on 3 days rest, which is something that that has been done in the playoffs before, and pitch game two, which, you know, you never know, might happen if they lose the first game, but I don't know, I'd be surprised. I know I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know in general the stats of pitchers who go on 3 days rest rather than the traditional four are quite a bit worse.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the kind of thing, do you want to gamble and get them the extra start and maybe not perform up to par, or do you want to give him his regular rest and hope that he, you know, throws a real good start?
If you were a manager, which is the rumor with the Mets now, would you throw him on 3 days rest?
If you lose the first game, I think I'd be really tempted to do so.
Yeah.
Plus, he gets a pitch at home. And like you say, if you lose game one, you can't go back to New York down 2-0. I realize that the Rays series, all the road teams won all the games, but the odds of that happening again are quite slim. So, you know, if you lose the first two games to New York, then you're going back to New York for three. You got to win two out of those three just to get back home. That's pretty tough. So I think if you lose game one, I'd be tempted to do so, but it'll be interesting to see what Washington does there.
Yeah. Prediction time. I'll go first. I'm going to pick the Yankees in five.
You stole it from me.
Sorry. I just think that, personally, the Rangers pitching, I mean, you got C.J. Wilson and Cliff Lee, but after him, Tommy Hunter didn't really pitch too well, and they don't have a whole lot of guys that could shut down a Yankees offense. This is this potent. I just can't see the from a pitching standpoint, how they can match up. I'm not sure what your reasoning is, but...
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think the Yankees in five. I just don't think... the experience, of course, is a big factor. I mean, obviously, winning one series is great for Texas. You know, that's the first time that the team has ever won one in the franchise history. So
especially
that's good.
Under new ownership as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So, but I just, the Yankees, the way they stack up, the lineups are actually not too far off. Texas can definitely slug with them, but the Yankees pitching, if they get pitching like they got from Pettit and Hughes, those are the main guys. Obviously, you know, you're probably going to get a good start from Sabathia. If Pettit and Hughes pitch like they did against Minnesota, then I think the Rangers are going to be in for some trouble.
Sounds good. We're moving on now to the NLDS. The Philadelphia Phillies are taking on the NL West winning San Francisco Giants. Hopefully we'll send our marketing department head Mitch McKenna to the games to cover them for us, but we're still working out terms or ticket deals. For the Phillies, you got Roy Halladay,
they got the traded J.A. Happ.
They did, yeah.
Roy Oswalt.
Roy Oswalt and Cole Hamels. You got them starting game 1, 2, 3, and... by the time Game 4 comes around, Halladay might even be available for that. Is there anything that's going to stop the pitching? Obviously, in my personal opinion, I mean, you got Buster Posey, Aubrey Huff, but those guys didn't really step up, in my opinion, in the series against the Braves. So who's going to hit these pitchers?
That's the question that's going to be asked. I really think they're going to have trouble. You know, for the Giants to win, they're going to have to win 2-1 games.
Yeah.
But as good as the three from Philly are, you know, you look at Lincecum, Kane, and Jonathan Sanchez, who threw amazing against Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got three dandy starters coming right back at you. So it's going to be interesting. You know, maybe they'll surprise us all and the first game will be 8-7. But, I mean, when you got I think a lot of baseball fans, myself included, are really, really looking forward to this Halladay Lincecum matchup. Don't have too much to drink before that happens, because this game might be over in 45 minutes. You don't have time to go to the bathroom. It's going to be a quick one, I think. It's going to be terrific.
There's going to be a lot of strikeouts, too.
Because something as good as Philly's lineup is, a lot of people forget, against Cincinnati, they didn't hit well either. They had the four runs in the first couple innings in game one and didn't get anything else. They only had the two runs in game three. And even in game two, when they did get some runs, it was mostly on errors and walks and hit bats when they got those runs in. So the Philly bats certainly didn't hit that well, and now they're going up against a three-headed monster of their own. So it should be some low-scoring games here. So fans of pitching, this is going to be the series to watch.
Really, both series, this is going to be the series to watch. I mean, if you like Yankee pitching, which no one around here does. but, no, you're right. It's definitely going to be the pitching between the Phillies and the Giants. If there is anyone that's going to step up for the Giants, in your opinion, who is it going to be?
Buster Posey, you know, for a rookie, he seems to be handling the pressure just fine. I could see someone like him coming up. You had mentioned Aubrey Huff. is a solid hitter. You know, you got a guy like Juan Uribe, you know, a guy that's a little slap hitter here and there.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot of power against guys like the Phillies if you can scratch out a few base hits here and there, because they're not going to walk many guys either. Halliday and Oswalt and Hamels don't walk too many. So you're going to need to get base hits. So, you know, some of those guys here, if they can spray singles here and there, there's going to be a lot of small ball, I think, hitting runs, bunting, stealing, that kind of stuff. But it'll be interesting. The Giants, on paper, don't have the bats to take them down, but you never know.
Yep, you never know is right. It's the playoffs. Prediction time. I went first last time, so you go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Phillies to win. I think a lot of these games are going to be very close. I'm going to go in six games. A lot of people are saying four or five. I just think San Francisco's pitching could easily win a game or two, and it wouldn't be completely shock me to see the, you know, the series go in seven. I don't want to say shocked. I'd be surprised if Philly didn't win the series.
Yep.
But it should be a good one. I'm really looking forward to this one.
For me, I think Brian Wilson, the awesome closer for the Giants. The Phillies are known for their late runs. We've seen that in Game 2 against the team that they played against in the NLDS. So I am going to be one of those people that says in 4 or 5. I think it's going to be the Phillies in 5 games.
Fair enough.
I don't know. It's just for me, it's going to be the Ryan Howards, the Jason Worths, those guys that are going to step up. And even Carlos Reese, he's been hitting really well, especially against the fastball pitchers, which,
yeah,
and
that's
never
true.
Know, he might find a couple of fastballs here and there to take out of the yard.
Made a good point with, sorry to interrupt your Brian
Wilson.
No,
that's fine.
Comment there, he's one of these guys that gets saves and saves and saves, but he always makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Even in game four, there's two guys on base in the last inning. So, like you mentioned, Philly is good at those late game comebacks, and Wilson's good at putting guys on base. So,
yeah.
That could could be dangerous for San Francisco for sure.
He's like the Papelbon of this year. Papelbon was just fair.
Cuts like a knife, right? Cuts like a knife.
All right. So that just about wraps up everything. Once again, thanks for coming on the show, Adam. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And never will. We might extend you for another series.
Well, we'll just see, how the predictions work.
All right. So to wrap things up, I'm going to give a little tribute to Cliff Lee's goatee, soul patch. He's bringing sexy back. We're going back to 06. It's Justin Timberlake, sexy back. Have a good weekend, everyone, and enjoy the ball games.
The Hawk Corner is a presentation of Sports Superstation. This show was written, directed, and produced by Ryan McKenna. Editing and technical director is Matthew McKenna. Marketing department and assistant technical director is Mitchell McKenna. Engineer, Patrick McKenna. Senior baseball analyst, Adam Connolly. Yeah. See you next week.
Turn around and I'll pick up the slack.
Take him to the bridge.
Dirty babe. You see these shackles, baby, I'm your slave. I'll let you with me if I misbehave. It's just that no one makes me feel this way. Go ahead, be gone with it. Go ahead, be gone with it.
Look at those hips.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
You make me smile.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Go ahead, child.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
I'm bringing sexy back.